So we began our series on the patriarchs last week. If you were here, you heard about Abraham and God's promises to Abraham and Sarah to have a baby when they were 100 years old. Or, you know, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, and God blessed them with this promised child through whom they would actually, you know, start a nation of people. And God promised them as many descendants as the stars in the sky. So Isaac was this promised child. Abraham had tried to, you know, take control of things and have a child by his own merits with Hagar, with Sarah's slave, and they had Ishmael. So it's really the second child of Abraham, but the first for Sarah, and the promised child to both of them. And now here today, if you just listen to that story, we hear God was testing Abraham's faith in him and said to him, "Now I want you to go up to the place I will show you," which was Mount Moriah, "and I want you to sacrifice your son, this promised son that you'd waited so many years for, the one I've promised all these descendants through, and I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering to me." So all these promises that had come through him could just be ruined now. What was God doing here? And I think, you know, if you've heard this story about Isaac, he's most famous for this story. But Isaac's story is in between Abraham's story and Jacob's story. They're much better known patriarchs, because Isaac's only got about four chapters in the middle there of Genesis, and he's really quite passive. He doesn't really do a lot. Some things happen to him, but there's not much that he actually does that he's famous for, apart from this story. So why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice this promised son, we ask? Well, some Jewish writings say that actually it was actually Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham, born to Hagar, teasing Isaac about being circumcised as a baby. He's actually the firstborn Jew to be circumcised on the eighth day. When God commanded Abraham and all his people to be circumcised, Ishmael was about 14 years old. And so he remembers. So he was maybe teasing Isaac, saying, you know, I actually sacrificed part of my body to God, and that's how much I serve him and would obey him. And you, Isaac, tauntingly, were circumcised as a baby. So you didn't protest, it just happened to you. But I could have protested and resisted, but I gave my body to God. And in these Jewish writings, they say that Ishmael was teasing Isaac in this way, and Isaac came back with, "Well, you just complaining about sacrificing one body part and just a few drops of blood, well, I would sacrifice my whole life to God if he asked me to. I would die for him." And so this is what the Jewish writings say as a way to explain why this would happen later, when Abraham actually did be asked to sacrifice him in this way. And people wonder why he waited so long to carry this out. At this time, the Jewish writings again say he was probably 37 years old. I think when we hear this story in Sunday school, we think that Isaac was a child, just willingly going along with his father, doing what his father said, unknowingly. But if he's 37, he really did go willingly. Josephus' writing say that he was maybe 25. But if you think about his mum having him at 90 years old, Sarah having him at 90, and dying at 127, and they say that she actually died because of this, or while they're away on the walk having the sacrifice, when they came back she had passed at 127. So he's likely 37 years old, going to be sacrificed as a willing sacrifice. Now that's pretty huge, and we know that his love for God was passed on to him through his father. Abraham was a great man of faith who passed the faith on to his son Isaac, who was willing to be a sacrifice. He didn't have to be sacrificed. We know that God intervened and provided a ram, which is a prototype of Jesus taking the sacrifice for our sins, but we'll come back to that a bit later. First, I just want to keep focusing on Isaac and his faith. We know that he was willing to give up his whole life and lay on the altar to be sacrificed in obedience to God. And he kept this attitude of prayer and relationship with God right through his life. That didn't ruin his faith. It probably strengthened it. Because I think we do feel closest to God in our times of distress and the challenging times that we go through. And so his faith is even strengthened. We see him praying throughout his life. We know that when the servant of Abraham went to get a wife for him and came back with Rebecca, when Rebecca entered the scene, Isaac was out in the field meditating and praying. He was a prayerful person. This was his practice. And when Rebecca, his wife, had been barren for many years and couldn't have a child, he prayed and interceded for her that they would have a baby, and God answered his prayer. We see him time and time again praying and asking God for help and provision, and also listening to God's instruction, listening to God and obeying him and living out faithfully. We see that in chapter 26 of Genesis, if I may continue. So by this time, there was a famine in the land. This is a different famine to when Abraham was alive, it specifies. And it says that Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all the lands, and through your offspring all nations of the earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions." And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Now, he was the only patriarch to actually stay all of his life in the promised land. Abraham started out somewhere else and came in. Jacob left. But Isaac was a staying put kind of person. He was happy to settle. In fact, he wasn't a shepherd, a wanderer. He dug wells. That's what he is most well known for. And that's what he did in this place. So he's staying in this place throughout the famine near King Abimelech and the Philistines. He said in that space the same lies that his father Abraham had said when, you know, his wife Sarah was so attractive to the king and the people of the land. He said, "Oh, she's my sister." Isaac did exactly the same thing here, but we won't go into that. But I want us to pick up at verse 12, where Isaac stayed in that land. He planted crops and became really prosperous. He reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. And he became so rich, and his wealth continued to grow, and all his flocks and his servants increased. So all the people in the Philistines were jealous. They were envious. And to get back at him, they filled up all the wells that Abraham and his men had dug. And so all of the enemies against Isaac and his family are filling up all the old wells. And then Abimelech comes to Isaac and says, "You have to move away from us. You're too powerful. Move away. There's no room for you here. You're a threat." And so Isaac moved away, and he went and he got all the dirt out those wells that Abraham had dug. And then he started to dig a new well in the valley. And the men from Gerar came and said, "This is our water, you can't have it." And so Isaac just moved on, dug another well. Again, the men came from Gerar and argued over this well, "It's our water." And Isaac moved on. He dug a third well, and they didn't argue over it. So he finally said, "There is room for me. There is room for me." And so he found his space in this land, and that is where the Lord appeared to him. He said, "The Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." And from there he went up to Beersheba, and that night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the numbers of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." And so in that place, Isaac built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. See, his devotion to the Lord, it continues. He knew to worship. He knew to build an altar and call on the name of the Lord. Next, there he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. This is actually the Bible reading for my wedding, the sermon that the priest gave when I was married many years ago. He said this verse, this is what he preached on. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. And if you think about it, it is quite fitting for a wedding sermon or even a message for all of us, because they're the priorities in the right order. We worship God, we build our family, and we work. We do die eventually, yes. So priorities, and it's a really, really good message. And I just remember as a young married couple, we actually found a church we wanted to go to, which was in Diamond Creek. And then we sought to buy a house around that area. It was too expensive, so we went out to the next suburb out. And then as we, you know, lived there, we our work and relationships and things flow out of that. It's great priorities, but God is first. And I think that is one of the most important thing that we can learn from the story of Isaac and the way he lived his life and his priorities, because God does need to be first. Whatever else is going on, if he's first, that's what matters most. Now, coming back to his sacrifice, where God was truly first, he was willing to sacrifice his own self in obedience to God because God called him to. Of course, God provided a ram, and Abraham was able to sacrifice the sheep instead of his son. But that willingness for him to give up his own son reminds us of God, who gave up his son, his one and only son, for us as a sacrifice. And he is the substitute. He is the spotless Lamb of God who died for us, who takes away our sins so that we can get off that altar and live in obedience to God for the rest of our lives. In a different way, we need to be living sacrifices. Jesus is the sacrifice. He took that for us. And there's many parallels if you think about it. Young Isaac carried wood up the mountain to be sacrificed on. Jesus had to carry his cross to be sacrificed on. There's many parallels. But the fact is that Jesus died for us. And so we don't need to be martyred or, you know, sacrifice ourselves in a way that leaves us dead and gone, but alive as living sacrifices. I just want you to reflect and think about maybe the ways God is calling you to be a living sacrifice. Is he first in your lives? Does he have your full devotion? Are you utterly and totally committed to him and his plans for you? And whatever he wants, would you say yes?